center field. Tavares comes on. The call, the catch, the win in game two. A nail biter that goes Texas way. 5-4. And they lead this best of seven. 2-0.
On the ground, a hot one, backhanded, Bohm, throw to second, out, stop, throw to first, it's in time, and it's a double play, and the game is over. The Phillies win game one.
Major League Baseball Championship Series yesterday, the Rangers take a 2-0 lead in that best of seven, jumped out to a 4-0 lead in the first, held on to win. Yordan Alvarez with two more home runs, but Nathan Eovaldi worked out of a bases-loaded jam midway through the game, got the win. He's 3-0 this postseason. They'll take today off for travel and go to Arlington for tomorrow's game three. So the Rangers up 2-0 and go home. Astros in a deep hole right now. And then game one to NLCS. The Phillies go homer happy again. Kyle Schwarber led off the game with a homer. Bryce Harper a homer on his 31st birthday. Nick Castellanos, all he does is hit home runs, it seems. Phillies jumped down to an early 5-0 lead, held on to win 5-3. Game two of that series is tonight on TBS. Aaron Nola, the Phillies versus Merrill Kelly for the D-backs. And welcome to the Sports Ticket brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. And we coming up, we have KU number one in the basketball polls. We'll tell you why that's a bad thing. A couple of K-State players being recognized for their efforts in a win over Texas Tech on Saturday. And there was Monday Night Football last night, and more good news for Kansas City Chiefs fans. All of you Chiefs fans that are always getting in a tizzy, making a big deal about everything, shellax. We'll give you more reasons why you should shellax coming up here on the ticket. But first, we throw it to Dusty as volleyball season is winding down.
Yeah, a few teams finishing their seasons here this evening. Some of them already finished their league tournament on Saturday, but looking at the volleyball schedule for tonight, Phillips Forgat Beloit. C team at 5, JV around 6, and the best 3 out of 5 varsity match will start approximately 7 o'clock here this evening. You can catch the match online at nckssports.com with the Beloit Trojan Channel. Again, Phillipsburg at Beloit here tonight. Lakeside Triangular, they're hosting Southern Cloud and Natoma this evening. Also, St. John's Tipton and Rock Hills are at the Lincoln Triangular. And Tescott hosting a triangular with Pike Valley and Chase here this evening. You can find the full schedules, all the news, scores, and more at nckssports.com for local sports. Again, everything winding down. And substate volleyball brackets will be coming out tomorrow, so we'll get those posted when they come out as well. And we'll tell you where everybody's at. And, yeah. Volleyball starting to wind down. Cross-country regionals will be taking place on Saturday as well.
Yep, locker room chats tomorrow on Thursday night for high school football coaches in our area on top of all that. So hope everybody enjoys that coverage. The Associated Press has released their preseason's men's basketball poll. KU checks in at number one to start the season, receiving 46 of the 63 first-place votes. Duke, Purdue, Michigan State, and Marquette round out the top five with defending champion UConn number 6. From the Big 12, Houston starts at number 7, Texas at 18, Baylor at 20. TCU and K-State both receive votes. KU is number one in AP poll for the fourth time to start the season in school history. All of those have come under Bill Self. So clearly, it's good to be number one in the preseason poll, right?
Sure it is.
Not if you're a Jayhawk fan.
No, it's usually actually probably
it's
not
horrible.
For a lot of men's basketball teams.
It's really bad for Kansas. In 2004/5, KU was the number one team in the preseason AP poll. You want to remember how they finished in the 2004/05 season?
In the first round of the tournament.
They did, yes. In 2009-2010, I had tickets to the Final Four right there in Indianapolis. KU was the number one overall seed of the tournament, the number one preseason AP number one. And how'd they do in the 2009-10 season?
Second round.
Lost to Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 18-19, how'd they do? They were number one team. The 18-19 season.
19, was that second round too?
Yes, second round as well. So Kansas, when they've been number one, hadn't even reached the Sweet 16 a single time. So this is not good for KU fans. Not good at all. You can brag all you want, but that has not been a recipe for success, that's for sure. Arturo Morris, not on the team, of course. He was charged with rape. Now he's enrolled at one point Garden City. Now he's going to be somewhere in L.A., in case you're following that. Saw a story yesterday that Josh Jackson, former KU Jayhawk, is being charged with rape.
Yeah.
Dear God. So, you know, once again, charged, not guilty, innocent until proven guilty. That's a guy that was number five overall pick NBA draft and just did not pan out. I was talking, having this conversation with my oldest son. He goes, he's a Jayhawk fan. He's like, KU's number one. He goes, why are they number one? I said, because they're loaded. And he's like, well, we don't have anybody to shoot. I said, Yeah, you do. You just picked up the Timberlake kid. Yeah, but where's he from? I said, Towson. Well, he blew it off. I said, do you know where Devontae Graham was originally? Do you know where Frank Mason was originally? Frank Mason was Towson, and Devontae Graham was Appalachian State. And people said the same thing about those guys, and all they did was go to the NBA. And one's still in the NBA, and the other, Mason, was National Player of the Year. Sometimes you go under the radar. Just because you go to a smaller school in D1 doesn't mean you can't play at the bigger Power 5 level, as we're seeing with a lot of these transfers. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to get that across to him. He's like, well, yeah, okay, so the Timberlake guy, he probably can't play defense. I said, well, I would imagine Bill Self didn't just recruit a guy that doesn't play defense, so I'm going to assume I'm going to trust Bill Self. I'm going to say that he goes, well, how good of a shooter is he? 41% from three. Yeah, but can he do it in the Big 12? I'm like, well, that's the same thing they said about Mason and Graham and all kinds of other people. And I said, oh, yeah, Hunter Dickinson can shoot the three. He shot 42% from three last year. My son, he just kept going up. I was like, do you just want to argue because you don't want to admit you're wrong here? I said, Emeka Jackson's not a bad shooter. I said, and oh, yeah, DeJuan Harris, we looked it up. Dusty and I did it on our show. He shot 40% last year from three. Yeah, they didn't shoot a lot of them. Doesn't matter. Still, you said they can't make them from three. I just proved to you three. They have three guys that shoot 40% or above. So, you know, sometimes the old debate skills sounds like, kick in for me.
Yeah, it sounds like that guy that's just trying to keep tempered expectations,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, I don't want to get too crazy about this. They shouldn't be number one. Yes. They need to earn number one, you know, stuff
like
that.
He's tearing them down so he doesn't get disappointed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I've done that with teams before. You know, it's just like, I don't know. And then they, you know, that go out and prove me wrong, you know? Listen, these guys have proved him wrong, probably just based on what they've done in the past.
But if it was Justin Timberlake, I'd be concerned.
Yeah.
But it's Nick Timberlake, so we'll see how it all works out. KU,
Nick Lachey, you'd be concerned, too. Let's add another boy band person.
Yeah,
right?
they're pretty deep. KU's pretty deep, even with the loss of Morris. So, you know, Parker Brown, you know, I think he'll be a good role player. And Kansas got three starters back, plus they had a Hunter Dickinson. I mean, three starters of a team that was really good last year. So, yeah. They should be pretty good. But what will happen in the tournament? History says it ain't going to go well.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Two K-State football players were honored by the Big 12 as players of the week after their performances in the 38-21 K-State win at Texas Tech on Saturday night. Safety Kobe Savage was named defensive player of the week in the conference, had two interceptions and seven tackles. And big shocker, Avery Johnson was named newcomer of the week after becoming the first true freshman to run for five touchdowns in a single game. He also tied K-State's record for rushing touchdowns in a game and the second most in a game in Big 12 history. When we come back on the Sports Ticket in 30 seconds, Monday Night Football, more good news for the Chiefs.
We have an exciting announcement to make. I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Greg Honiel has joined our team. Greg's been fixing cars in Beloit for about 36 years now, so a lot of you already know him. Greg, tell us about yourself.
I've been fixing cars in Beloit for 36 years. I've been ASE Master Certified for 32 and Chrysler Master Certified for 15. I'd be happy to work on your vehicle, and you can find me at Kiever Brothers.
And you can find Kiever Brothers just south of the courthouse in Beloit or online at KieferBrothers.com.
Herbert gets rid of it and he's picked. Intercepted by the Cowboys. The catch is good. And Gilmore's the one who got it.
So, the Chiefs, they really haven't put it together yet. I don't know, man. They're 5-1, and they're in a division. Right now, if they win this Sunday against the Chargers, you might just go ahead and hand them the trophy for the division. Chargers lose last night. Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. When you want fast, friendly auto repair, you want Kiever Brothers Automotive. Stephen Gilmore with the interception. Justin Herbert last night, 1:22 left in the game. Sealed the 2017 victory for the Cowboys over the Chargers. Back and forth game. Eventually, Cowboys win on a field goal. Both teams tried a 4th-and-1. The tush-push does not work for anybody in the National Football League except the Philadelphia Eagles. Cowboys tried last night, did not work on 4th-and-inches. The Chargers didn't get it on a 4th-down-and-1, but then they got one on a 4th-and-goal to tie the game. Cowboys moved to 4-and-2. Nice bounce-back win for them. Dak Prescott 3 for 272 and a touch. And the Chargers dropped to 2-and-3 in their third place in AFC West. That's right, the Chargers are not even second place in the division. And everybody's chic pick to win the Super Bowl every year. Can't even get out of their way. So this is the fun part about national media people that just spew nonsense. And it is continuous drivel and nonsense. It just continues to be that way. And it comes to quarterback play. And it shouldn't even be that hard to figure out. But yet, people just need something to talk about, apparently, and they want to spew a whole bunch of venom out there. I love how people want to talk about, you know, we talk about the flavor of the week when it comes to a team, right? And we've seen the Dolphins be the flavor of the week and then get blown out by Buffalo. We saw Buffalo flavor of the week. They lose the Jags in London. We see the Niners are the flavor of the week after killing the Cowboys, and then they lose to the Browns. And the Browns were on a third-string quarterback and a backup running back. But yet it was the official's fault or the kicker's fault, so whatever. But there's also this whole thing with the flavor of the week. Let's find a quarterback we can compare to Patrick Mahomes and somehow try to make a case that we have a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. And we've gone through the list here over time, right? I think the first one probably was Josh Allen because he was challenging the Chiefs in the playoffs. And, of course, every time he's played Mahomes in the playoffs, he's lost. Then, of course, Lamar Jackson was thrown out there for a while, maybe even before Josh Allen, about how dynamic and how great he is as a runner, and he hasn't done jack squat in the playoffs. Josh Allen's never made it to the Super Bowl, made it to the AFC title game one time and lost to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And then, of course, there's Joe Burrow. Well, he's 3-1 against Mahomes. Okay, great. That's super awesome. He's 1-1 in AFC title games, so those are the two that really matter. And how many rings does he have? Oh, that's right, zero. He's been to one Super Bowl. Mahomes has been to three. So I'll just keep on going here. How many MVPs does Burrow have? Oh, that's right, zero. And how's he doing this year? Not so great. And he's the highest paid player now in the league based on year average salary. So do you think he's better than Mahomes? No, but he's getting paid more than Mahomes on an annual basis, okay? Mahomes has the bigger, fatter contract. And then there's, you know, Jalen Hurts, of course, had a great year last year, got banged up late in the year, and played very well in the Super Bowl. And then Jalen Hurts went out there and threw three picks the other day, and then people start saying Jalen Hurts isn't as good as people think. I think Jalen Hurts is outstanding quarterback. I don't know if he's at the level of Mahomes either, but he's a very good quarterback. And then there's Justin Herbert. And has a guy ever made more money accomplishing nothing other than... Okay, Justin Herbert's a good, fine player. He's a good, fine player. But Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, none of those guys have blown a 27-0 lead in the playoffs. And you can sit here and say, well, that's not Herbert's fault. He don't play defense. Yeah, but they didn't score.
Yeah, you got to keep scoring.
You got to keep scoring. If he's so great, how do you just suddenly not score against a team at home that you're supposed to be better than? Justin Herbert just got a big contract. He's never won a playoff game. He's only been the one and blew a 27-0 lead. Not him, but the team. Or if you want to blame him, because we had this conversation yesterday with Max that, you know, we got to blame somebody. So let's go ahead and blame Herbert. Let's just single out a guy. Forget the team. Let's just single out the one guy, right? So Justin Herbert last night is one of the highest paid players in the league. He's never won a division title. His record is really bad against Mahomes and the Chiefs. Never won a playoff game.
The only one he's been to.
Last year. He hasn't even been to the divisional round of the playoffs. And he's been in the league for a little while. Justin Herbert, last night, with that interception, with a minute 22 to go in the game, Justin Herbert's clutch, right? He overcomes the defensive deficiencies and injuries that the Chargers have. Justin Herbert's clutch. It's not his fault that they blew a 27-0 lead. He did his job. 27 points should be enough, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's not his fault when these guys get here. It's not his fault Brandon Staley calls dumb plays. It's not his fault when they don't get 4th-and-1. Well, yeah, sometimes it is because the ball's in his hands. You know, Justin Herbert's clutch. It's just everybody else around him doesn't do what they're supposed to do. Last night, Justin Herbert threw his 13th career interception in the fourth quarter of a one-score game. Oh, well, yeah, but the interceptions don't matter because they were. I mean, he's trailing a lot. No. Let me repeat this. Justin Herbert threw his 13th career interception in the fourth quarter of a one-score game. That is not clutch.
No.
That is not clutch. And by the way, anybody that... I will say this. I don't think it's a great stat to be bragging about. And I've seen this, and they've got a whole stat for every single quarterback, okay? I mean, it's a good stat to have because from the standpoint that you prove you can come back and win. I get that, okay? But I think it is interesting when they say, Dan Marino had this, John Elway had this, Mahomes has it, they show it, they show Herbert, they did it last night with the graphic. They do it for every quarterback when you get down to the last drive of the game and they're behind. This quarterback has so many game-winning drives or such and such. I'm like, that means you're behind. You know, it's the whole, well, the Chiefs have never won a road game in the playoffs with Mahomes because he's never behind from the standpoint of they're always at home. They always have the better record than everybody. That's why they don't play the road game. I don't want to have this great, unbelievable. I don't want to have where he's 38-29 on game-winning drives or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Because that means you're behind a lot.
Yeah.
It's an interesting stat. Like, what you really need to know about that stat is over how many years. Like, over time, Peyton Manning is going to have a lot of game-winning drives, right? And what does that mean? Does that mean that you get a field goal when you're down one, and that's a game-winning drive? I don't know how they
figured that's out. Part of it. Yeah,
you're behind.
I would assume all that if
right.
No matter if you threw a touchdown or you got
right.
a field goal, or you're down two or you're down six.
Right.
I think that's all part of that.
Like, what happens if your defense gets an interception, returns it to the 38, and you get 5 yards on a quarterback draw and kick a field goal? That's going to count as a game-winning drive for Peyton Manning or whoever it is.
Yeah.
So it could be a little bit.
Even if you're tied, right?
Like right.
Tom Brady, drive. Right? That's a game-winning right. drive in the Super Bowl first time.
Even though it was tied,
yeah.
right? Well, Mahomes last night, a Super Bowl last year, that's a game-winning drive.
Yeah.
Right? Clinched it at the end. 35-35, they went on a field goal. But that's five. Justin Herbert's thrown 13 career interceptions in the fourth quarter of one-score game. He did another one last night. That's five more than any other quarterback in the NFL since entering the league in 2020. And this guy's getting $50 million a year. Dude, these guys need to start cutting a commission check and sending it to one Arrowhead Drive in attention Patrick Mahomes. Because Patrick Mahomes has helped these guys make a whole bunch of money. It is mind-boggling to me how you want to make an argument that's not even there. Like, there's no... it's a silly... These arguments... which team is the flavor of the week? What quarterback is the flavor of the week to compare to Mahomes? And there is no one. Just stop it. There's nobody to compare to Brady. Stop that, too. Brady won 7 Super Bowls. Montana won 4. Elway won 2. Marino won 0. Those are some of the best quarterbacks of all time. I just rattled off there. Peyton Manning won 2. Aaron Rodgers won 1. Brett Favre won 1. I mean, the only guy you can even come close to Tom Brady would be probably Joe Montana
mm-hmm.
with 4. I mean, there's no debate. The greatest quarterback of all time is Tom Brady if you judge quarterbacks by winning championships. And that's what I hear, right? Well, it's all about winning the title. And then people change the narrative and they change the definition of what's the greatest of all time because you want it to fit your agenda and your narrative. Patrick Mahomes could end up winning 7 Super Bowls and there might be a great debate. He might win 5 and there's a great debate. He might win 4 and go to 10 and there might be a great debate. Who knows? I really don't care. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league now. And it's silly to even debate it. It really is silly. And I know the Chiefs offensively aren't putting up tons of points right now. But let me throw this little nugget at you for all those Chiefs fans that continue to have their panties in a bunch. This was some good crack staff research by the interns here at Katie Country 94, or I stole it from Twitter. So, and I've been trying to say this to Chiefs fans. Dusty knows this for 5 weeks. I said it even before the Lions game. You lose the Lions, no big deal. You get Chris Jones back for the Jacksonville game. Get Kelsey back. You beat Jacksonville. That's a tiebreaker game. And then you just go from there. You should be all right. Here we are. Chiefs have the best record they've ever had through 6 games with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. I'm not lying about that. That is a fact. So, well, the defense is carrying us. The offense is just way behind schedule, way off pace with our previous teams. Even last year's offense was way better. Well, let's look at the number, shall we? I cannot make this stuff up. Last year, through 6 games, the Chiefs had 2,294 yards of offense. Do you think the Chiefs have more or less offense a year ago through 6 games, yardage-wise?
Maybe just a hair more.
It's exactly the same, believe it or not. 2,294 yards of offense for the Chiefs through six games, just like last year. They're the best team in the NFL in third and seven plus. The best team in the NFL in the last 23 years on third down, seven plus. Now, they're not the best team in the last 23 years at third and short. We know that. The difference is this. The Chiefs' 147 points through the first six games are the fewest in the Mahomes era. At this point of the season last year, 179. Previous low was 172 in 2019. They also, keep in mind, 14 points when they took a knee at the two and took a slide at the one against the Jets. And Robert Saleh said yesterday that his defense has embarrassed all the quarterbacks they've seen. Mahomes could have scored 30 on you and was celebrating on your turf. I don't think he was embarrassed by your defense, but okie doke. So add in the two touchdowns that they easily could have had if they wanted to run it up, and they'd have 161 points. So they'd only be two touchdowns behind last year's pace. Okay? So you may be sitting here thinking about these numbers going, well, how is this even possible? Like, this is the fewest points in Mahomes' era through six games of a season, yet the Chiefs have the best record they've ever had with Mahomes as their starting quarterback through six games. That's a very easy answer. Defense. Which Mahomes has never had in his career. Not at Texas Tech, not in Kansas City, except for, you know, good enough to win the first Super Bowl when Spags came in. Definitely not good enough his first year at Bob Sutton, a coordinator. And last year, the defense was good enough. But it hasn't been like one of the best defenses in the league. Brady had those from time to time. There were Super Bowls that Brady was carried by the defense. And there were some Super Bowls where Brady had to do a lot of stuff. They reinvented things with the Patriots around their quarterback for so many years. That's exactly what the Chiefs are doing. So how in the world are the Chiefs better record-wise this year with Mahomes at quarterback, with a whole bunch of inexperienced wide receivers? How are they better record-wise, and how are they better point differential-wise? Because he has a defense, finally. The Chiefs have allowed 88 points. That's their best by 39 points since 2018. The Chiefs are plus 59 in point differential through six games, which is the best scoring differential in the Mahomes era. Let me repeat that. The Chiefs are plus 59 in score differential, but they've scored 32 less points than last year at this time. You know what that means? The Chiefs' defense is 91 points better than a year ago.
Yeah.
Through six games. That's insane.
Yeah.
Very. That's how much better this team is. And if you want to poo-poo it, which everybody out there wants to pee on a party, I understand. But, well, they didn't play nobody. They held the Lions to 14 points. They had a pick six.
Mm-hmm.
The defense held the Lions to 14 points. And there was no Chris Jones in that game. Lions, one of the better offensive football, they are 5-1. They are tied for the best record in the National Football League with the Chiefs and the Dolphins and the Niners and the Eagles, okay? So they lost by 1 point. Defense gave up 14. Jacksonville, they gave up, what was it, 9? Jacksonville now scoring a whole bunch of points. The Bears, of course, what they scored one touchdown, I think. Yeah. And the Bears are bad. We get that. The Bears are bad. The Jets, they gave up two touchdowns and two field goals, all right? And I know Zach Wilson ain't great, but two of those were set up on short fields by bad interceptions by Patrick Mahomes. At Minnesota, they played the best wide receiver in the game, Justin Jefferson, held him to two catches for 28 yards. Or his three catches, 28 yards.
Yeah.
And the Vikings only scored, what was it, 20 in that game? I can't remember for sure, but they didn't score a lot. And then the Broncos, we know they held him to 8, and that was because of a bogus roughing the passer penalty. That'd be a shutout.
Mm-hmm.
And now they get the Chargers coming to town on Sunday. The Chiefs don't have to score 40 points a game anymore, people. They don't have to put up 500 yards of offense a game anymore, people. Mahomes doesn't need to go out and throw four touchdowns every game anymore. All right? They don't have to do it. Because they are a more complete and balanced team. The numbers absolutely prove it. Yet when you listen and hear from some Chiefs fans, you would imagine you could have swore that the Chiefs are 2-4, can't score, receivers are god-awful, and they're the worst team in the division, and the sky is falling. And while you think so negatively of your really, really good football team that's more complete but just not as sexy as you'd like it because you've been spoiled with all the sexiness over the last few years, while you're complaining about your team, all these other teams have warts all over themselves. Are the Chiefs perfect? No. Is wide receiver a concern? Yes. Will it get better? I think no question it will. You just need to trust the track record of the Kansas City Chiefs when Mahomes has been here. We've documented it before.
Well, the defense is not going to figure it out. They got lit up by the Titans, and the Chiefs blew that game. And
all they did was win their next 10 games that year. Or what was it, 8 games. They won the Super Bowl. Didn't lose the rest of the year after the Titans lost that first time they won a Super Bowl. Well, you know, we can't win without Tyreek Hill. I mean, clearly, we can't win anything without Tyreek Hill. I mean, he's the guy that pops the cap on the opposing defense. And the Chiefs last year, all they did was have the AFC title game hosted by them again, number one seed again, and, oh yeah, won the Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill. What other crap can we make up? Oh, okay, we lost Juju, who only had 800 yards receiving last year. It's not like he had a all-pro year. People forget that, by the way. When he was hurt, the Chiefs won without him, but people forget that as well. So we act like Juju Smith-Schuster was the savior of this team. He was a nice player. We lost Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman hardly played last year. Well, how are we going to replace these guys? Well, we can. It's not that difficult. We run Pacheco a little bit more. We run the ball more. We get more rushing yards. Mahomes runs the ball a little bit more. And we can divvy it up. You know, Rashee Rice gets a few catches. And then Kadarius Toney gets a catch or two. And then we might sprinkle in Scantling. And then, God forbid, Sky Moore ever catches a ball. You know, things, Justin Watson, we can go deep to him. He's got some decent speed, and he can pop the top. And, oh, yeah, our defense allows us to not have to worry about replacing all of that yardage that we lost a year ago because we don't need as much yardage because our defense is pretty good. The Tyreek Hill trade created what the Chiefs are today, and that's a great thing. The Tyreek Hill trade set the table for the Chiefs to have their window widened. I said at the very moment Tyreek Hill was traded, and a whole bunch of people, I bet I was one of the 1% in the entire country that came immediately on the show and said, this is, as long as the Chiefs draft well with these picks they're going to get, the salary cap flexibility to get by letting Tyreek Hill walk and trade him is worth a ton in gold just right then and there. Now you actually get draft picks, find a few free agent receivers to fill the void of Tyreek Hill, you'll be fine. But what happened? You bring in Juju. He does a really good job. You bring in Justin Watson, did an okay job. You bring in Scantling, did an okay job. Those three were all combined were cheaper than Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. And they put the same, and by the way, their productivity combined was almost exactly what Tyreek did the year, last year he was a Chief. Okay? Mm-hmm. In fact, more touchdowns. So people freaked out about that. People freak out about, oh my God, we lost Orlando Brown, which I don't think Chiefs fans do, but boy, national people apparently have a love affair with Orlando Brown. That's why the Bengals struggled the other day. Orlando Brown got hurt. What? They were struggling with him in the game, but whatever the hell you want to talk about. So it's just like people write stuff. I don't even think they watch the games anymore. I don't think people, some people that are national writers are not qualified. They're not, yeah. I don't even know who the heck they are. There's somebody sitting in their couch, wake up at 1 in the afternoon, miss the first half of the first games, and then talk about the games and write about it. It's ridiculous, some of the resources and sources of information you get. But the Kansas City Chiefs, all they do is reinvent themselves. And so the Tyreek Hill trade allowed the Chiefs to go young on defense. It allowed them to get Jalen Watson, Josh Williams. It allowed them salary cap flexibility to get Scantling and sign him to a 3-year deal. Okay, I know he's not awesome, but he's a serviceable player. It allowed them to sign Justin Reed as a free agent safety to replace Tyrann Mathieu. Okay, it allowed them to rework some deals on this team, including Patrick Mahomes, and restructure. And Chris Jones is, you know, they throw a little bit more money out at Chris Jones, but not as much as you'd think. They're set up to where they can probably re-sign Nick Bolton. I don't know about LeJarius Sneed, what's going to happen there. They're one of the youngest defenses in the National Football League. Leo Chanel, it looks like an up-and-coming linebacker. Mm-hmm. They got him because of Tyreek Hill trade. I mean, everything is set up here, and people can sit here and get all enamored by what Tyreek Hill is doing with Miami, and that's great and all.
But he's one blown hamstring away from doing nothing. And he's one player. And the Chiefs, the last year Hill was with the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill didn't run a precise route when they tried to go for a touchdown before halftime and had to settle for three. You can blame Eric Bieniemy for that call, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes for throwing it, but Tyreek Hill is part of that issue. Okay? My oldest son says it all the time. Tyreek Hill hardly ever catches the ball with his hands. Yet he's this unbelievable wide receiver. He don't have the greatest hands. He's athletic. He catches it. Then he can fly. We know this. And he can make some amazing moves. But think about this for a second. We have to have Tyreek Hill to win. The last year you had Tyreek Hill, you lost an AFC title game. The first year you didn't have Tyreek Hill, you won the Super Bowl. And the second year without Tyreek Hill, you have the best record you've ever had through six games with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. And you need to thank Tyreek Hill for demanding too much money. You should send a thank you card and annoy the crap out of Tyreek Hill. Still can't get over the fact that he's not a Chief, apparently, with all some of the things he comments about. It's like, dude, you're a Dolphin. Be happy for yourself. You got one ring. You won't get one anywhere else. So I hope you can thank Mahomes for that, too. I don't think the Dolphins are going to win a ring, but maybe they will. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. But we should send a thank you card to Tyreek Hill saying, thank you for allowing us to be the team we are today. And he may not even get it. He may be like, well, what do you mean? Your offense isn't scoring as much. No, you helped our defense become a top 10 defense. Because you wanted a few extra million and weren't going to settle for something a little bit less to stay on a juggernaut, you wanted more money and wanted to go elsewhere, and you were unhappy that you didn't get the ball all the time. So you wanted more catches, more touches, more yards, and you wanted more money. And you know what? I have no problem with that. No. That's cool. If he wants that, that's fine. But you overextended your hand if you wanted to stay a Chief, which I think it's clearly obvious he didn't. So you jettison him out. You trade him to somewhere. He's happy. The Chiefs are happy. And the Chiefs load up on draft picks. They make good draft picks. They scout. They develop. And, oh, yeah, they got a whole bunch of salary cap flexibility. This is why the Chiefs are where they are right now. And that's a good thing. They have – special teams is solid with young players. Their defense is really solid. And they're going to get a pass rusher they just signed the offseason back after a six-week suspension. They might bring in Frank Clark. I don't really care if they do or they don't. That's up to them. There's talk that Frank's going to be released by the Broncos and go to the Chiefs, so forth and so on. He'd give you some insurance if you have an injury, so I'm okay with that. The Chiefs reinvented themselves mainly because of the Tyreek Hill trade. So all these people that sit here and say, well, I really wish we had Tyreek Hill back, well, then go ahead and take eight players off your team. Okay? Go ahead and take away your tall, lanky corners that have been pretty good. Go ahead and take away a couple of linebackers that are pretty good. Probably a defensive lineman. And then let's go ahead and refactor in the money you wouldn't have had, and you might not have Justin Reed at safety. You may not. I don't know. I'd have to look back at it. And what does this all have in common? What does the Chiefs fans complaining about the offense? What does the clamoring about Tyreek Hill, whether it's a national media guy or a Chiefs fan still reminiscing, what does all that have in common? Sexiness.
Yeah.
I'm not a supermodel here on the radio. Neither is Dusty. That's why we face this for radio. And you may say, well, you keep mentioning about sexy. Flashy. You want that one? Is that a better adjective for you? Flashy. The Chiefs aren't as flashy. And as I told my oldest son last night when we were talking, and he sent a deal, he sent me actually this information that he saw. So it was great. And I'm using it today on the show. And he said, this is what you've been talking about, Dad. I said, exactly. You can have your flash. The Miami Dolphins can have all the yards in the world they want. They can have Tyreek Hill get 2,000 yards receiving. Tua can throw for 50 touchdowns. And they can have all the highest speed touchdown runs of the year. That's fine and all. You can have all that. And you know what I'll trade it for? A Super Bowl. I don't need my team to be super flashy. I've already been through that. That's fine. If they get flashy again and they still win, great. If I can have both, sure. Why not? But I would rather have a team that isn't as flashy winning more games and accomplishing more as a team than I would just to have a more entertaining product to watch, but then my team is 3-3. where my team at the end of the year is 10-7 and gets bounced in the wild card round. But boy, they looked really good in that 44-41 overtime loss. Whereas the Chiefs, oh, hey, the Chiefs are in the AFC title game, and they won the AFC title game 20-17, and they're going to the Super Bowl again. Give me that. Style, flash, substance. You, everybody out there that loves that, you can have it. You can have it. Go ahead and enjoy that. I will sit here and just bask in the glory of watching my team continuously win in all kinds of different ways over the last 6 years now, sixth year as a starter for Mahomes. I will enjoy the wins. Is 19-8 flashy and sexy compared to...
Well, I'm going strong. Like, right, would I rather watch the Chiefs lose 54-51 to the Rams
right,
and win 19-8 over the Broncos?
I'm taking the latter.
A win is a win no matter what the score was, and I would much rather watch the 19-8 win than the 54-51 loss. Now, if you're not a fan of either one of the teams, you'd rather watch the 54-51
game. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this goes back to the Super Bowl between the Patriots and the Rams. 13-3 was the final, and Todd Clover said it was a great game because he said it's defense and blah, blah, blah. I thought it wasn't.
I about fell asleep multiple times.
Right. I thought it was super boring. And you know what? Some people would argue the Chiefs-Bronco game was pretty boring.
Yeah, so, I would not have wanted to watch that if I wasn't a fan of one of the teams.
And so Clover can come back and say, see, this is what I was telling you guys back at the Super Bowl a few years back, is that that's old-fashioned, hard-nosed, grind it out, run the football, you know, great defense, so forth and so on, right? Now, sometimes great defense is a combination of bad offense, too, and I thought that's what happened in that game myself. But, you know, a few years later, we're sitting here talking about what a glorious Chiefs win over the Broncos, 19-8. Anybody that's not a Chiefs fan is sitting here going, big whoop. You beat the Broncos, aren't any good, and you only scored 19 points, and they don't focus on you held them to 8. Oh, the Broncos offense isn't any good. Oh, actually, Broncos offense has been pretty good statistically until that. A lot better than last year. Last year, they're horrible. And even some of the Chiefs kingdom are with the people that aren't caring about who wins that game, that think it's not good enough. And I know, and while you're sitting here whining about it's not good enough, and they beat the Broncos 19-8, the San Francisco 49ers go to Cleveland and lose 19-17. The Buffalo Bills, thanks to a penalty not being called in the end zone and a quarterback calling for an audible for a run before halftime, leaving 3 points on the field, the Buffalo Bills have no business even being in a game with the Giants. That should be a blowout. The Philadelphia Eagles lost to the New York Jets, and their quarterback threw 3 interceptions, including one just under 2 minutes to play. That was a really bad interception. I mean, the Miami Dolphins got blown out in Buffalo. Detroit Lions lost to the Seahawks in overtime. The Chiefs' loss was way back on a Thursday. You almost can't even remember it. 21-20 without the two of their stars. Now, I know other players have been hurt. Okay, I get that. Niners had some injuries, although they're going up against a third-string quarterback and a backup running back and blah, blah, blah. But my point is that those teams, when they haven't played well, they've lost this year. I mean, the Eagles haven't played great all year. They've been dodging bullets. They finally got bit. But the Chiefs, despite not being really great on offense, but pretty solid. The yardage is the same as last year. The wide receiver numbers are very similar to last year, believe it or not. But everybody wants to tell you how horrible the receiving core is. It's actually right there with last year's receiving core. But people don't want to hear that because it doesn't fit their, oh, I want to complain until my dreams come true. The only thing the Chiefs are down from last year is they... Listen, if they score 4 out of 5 times in the red zone for touchdowns against the Broncos, they're right there even. That's it. That's the difference between last year's team and this year's offense through 6 games is that the Chiefs score 3 touchdowns instead of 3 field goals against the Broncos. They're right there with on pace from last year point-wise. So are they scoring less points? That is a fact. 25 or 32 less points, which 32 less points per game. Let's do this. 32 points they lost compared to last year, divided by 6 games is 5 points a game. So the offense is averaging 5 points per game fewer than last year. The defense is actually giving up, I don't have it here in front of me, but it's more than 5 difference there. So you've already compensated for it. The Chiefs point differential is one of the best in the league. It's the best in the Mahomes era, even though the offense has put up the least amount of points. So What are we complaining
Stop
about?
Panicking.
Why are we complaining? Why are we complaining? Because it's not. It doesn't go smoothly.
Yeah.
You've had a rough day and you want to kick back and watch a Chiefs score 100? And that's not reasonable. It's not reasonable. And if the Chiefs beat the Chargers Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, the Chiefs would be 3.5 games ahead of the Chargers. Let me repeat that. If the Chiefs beat the Chargers on Sunday and the Chargers have a short week and they got to go all the way across the country to Arrowhead, the Chiefs will be waiting for them on Sunday afternoon at 3:25, pregame at 2 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake. If the Chiefs beat the Chargers on Sunday, the Chiefs will be 3.5 games ahead of the Chargers with only 10 to play. They'd also be 4 up on Denver, which Denver's not a threat, and 2 up on the Raiders, and the Raiders are only starting to win because they're playing some bad teams. So barring horrific injuries, you could start printing the AFC West banner for an 8th straight year for the Kansas City Chiefs.
But we're not as good, Wade. Well, I'm telling you, we're just not as good.
Yep, we're not quite as good offensively. You are correct. Defensively, we're way better. Special teams, way better than last year. Their 6 games. So you want there is more to a football team than just offense. So if you want to sit here and say offensively we're not as good as last year, you are correct in regards to points per game. You are absolutely correct. But if you sit here and say the Chiefs aren't as good as last year, you're dead wrong. The Chiefs have a better record than they did last year through 6 games. Their defense is way better. Their special teams is better. And oh, by the way, Travis Kelce missed the game. The only game they lost was Kelce out and Jones was holding out. Since they've had those guys back, they're undefeated at 5-0. And oh, by the way, they're going to get a pass rusher back that they signed in the offseason they like a lot from the 49ers, who's been suspended 6 games. Oh, by the way, the Chiefs' wide receiving core will get better. And Mahomes will be on the same page with them, I would be willing to bet, at the end of the year. Because the Chiefs do this every year. They pace themselves. They understand it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. They don't give out Super Bowl trophies. They don't give away the Lombardi trophy in the middle of October. Nobody's won the Super Bowl in October or November or December in NFL history. It's won in January, and now it's won in February because the Super Bowl takes place in early February. It is about building towards something. And here's the scary part for everybody in this league. Everybody has warts. Chiefs have warts too. But the Chiefs, during this 6-week process, they're still figuring things out. They have a lot of things to still figure out on offense. The red zone, they got to figure out short yardage. They got to figure out some of the timing with the wide receivers and Patrick Mahomes, the chemistry there. There's a ton of things the Chiefs can improve on offensively. And through these horrible, horrific growing pains that Chiefs fans are freaking out about, they're 5-1. Just wait till they figure some things out. Now, you can come back and be the negative Nelly and go, well, but the defense is going to come back down there too, Gershner. The defense is not going to keep doing what they've been doing. You know what? You're probably right. It probably will be a little. I mean, there'll be a game where the defense is going to have a tough night. I bet you. It's just the law of averages. There's going to be a day this season, a week or two, a couple of games maybe, maybe more, where the defense is going to struggle. They're going to be an injury or something, and Mahomes and the Chiefs offense are going to have to bail out the defense. It happens every year. Even the Chiefs defenses weren't good some of these years with Mahomes. There was a game where they bailed out the offense by getting some turnovers, or special teams bailed out the team. Okay? So it is a collective 3-phase game. It's defense, offense, and special teams. So Chiefs fans, you can be stuck on the offense all you want, but the Chiefs are a better team. Statistically, it is proven. Mathematically, it is proven. And with the W and L's, the win and the loss column is proven that the Chiefs are better and they're further ahead than they were in any other year with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback of this team. And during that span of the previous 5 years, Mahomes has been to 3 Super Bowls, 5 AFC title games, and won 2 of the 3 Super Bowls. This team is further ahead than all of those teams after 6 weeks. Further ahead in defense and special teams. The offense is behind. Just because the offense is behind doesn't mean the Chiefs are behind. And here's the great thing, too. The defense played so well, the Chiefs are rarely behind in football games as well. So Mahomes doesn't have to, you know, swing it every single down and rally us from a 24-0 deficit like he did in the playoffs against the Houston Texans that 1 year. But there will be a game where he's probably going to have to lead us back. Yes, that's true. So I just want some of those Chiefs fans that I know that continue to harp on the offense. Do you not study history, recent history? There's nothing to be alarmed about here. If Mahomes is throwing pick after pick and the offense is turning it over left and right, which they did, what was that, a couple years ago when they started year 3-4 and they couldn't get out of their own way and turned the ball over a ton? That team had more concerns and warts than this team does. And that team ended up going to the Super Bowl. So let's just... That team went to the Super Bowl, or was that the one that went to the AFC title game and lost to Cincinnati? That might have been it. Either way, at worst, as we know in the Mahomes era, the worst he's ever done is gone and lost in the AFC title game. So why do we doubt Andy Reid? Why do we doubt Patrick Mahomes? Why do we doubt the Kansas City Chiefs organization? Why do we do this each year? Dear God, we actually have a track record. I get it. The first year Mahomes a starter, you can question all these things. But this is year six. So please, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to be your therapist now for any of you out there that continuously complain and whine about the offense. It's going to be okay. I can basically virtually assure you that. I almost want to guarantee it. Now, will it be okay if Kelsey or Mahomes gets hurt? No. That's something that you obviously can't control. Can you get better offensively, get on the same page chemistry-wise, your receivers and Mahomes? Absolutely. And there is 11 more games to figure this out before you even get to the playoffs. And then you have time in the playoffs to maybe figure it out, like we saw with special teams that was atrocious last year through all the regular season and figured it out in the playoffs when it really mattered the most. So you don't need to be so freaked out if your team's not clicking on all cylinders in October. You need to be freaking out when your team's not clicking all cylinders in January. That's what we got to keep in mind. It ain't about flashiness and substance and style and sexiness. If it is for you, then that means you don't care about winning as much as we do. I only care about the winning part. And if the Chiefs end up having the number one defense in the league and the offense is 15th, and the Chiefs are hoisting the Lombardi Trophy and going back-to-back and then everybody can stamp the dynasty, sign me up.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.